Hello friends, welcome to the After Hours Lounge. Welcome back. If you are a regular listener, my name is Sandy and I am your host. And joining me this week is Georgie Sperling. Georgie is the CEO of wellness app Arvra. And she was a personal trainer before that for 12 years and is just a general wellness ambassador on social media. Kind of bit of a random one. I've been following Georgie for a while on Instagram, you know, kind of within that sort of mental health space that I'm in. And I basically saw an Instagram story that she was coming to South Africa. So I said, you know, are you in Cape Town, which is where I am at the moment? And she said, yes. And I was like, right, let's do a podcast. So yeah, all came together quite quickly. But actually, you know, a really, really great conversation with such a great ambassador for kind of wellness and mental well-being. Georgie's main thing, you know, it says on Arvra is health shouldn't be seen as a privilege. And I think that's such an important line. Because wellness, something like that, shouldn't be reserved for people who are either time rich or financially well off. And it so easily can be seen as that, you know, how do I make time for cooking beautiful meals that are nourishing and healthy? Or how do I make time to go and do all these fitness classes when I've got the kids to look after and things like that? And the idea behind Arvra and what Georgie's trying to do there with her team is to make it accessible for everyone, no matter their financial or any other position that they may find themselves in. And it was just a really great conversation. We touched on all sorts of things. Georgie's personal story of having a heart condition, being told she couldn't exercise, to essentially her sticking her middle finger up at the doctors and going, no, I'm going to get into dance, and how that affected her as a teenager. We went into the ways wellness and, you know, mental health is portrayed on social media, how sometimes it can potentially be a bit too much and people essentially using it as a diary rather than actually doing it for trying to help other people. We talked about intrinsic and extrinsic motivations, how that is makes such a difference into the way we do it. We talked about nutrition, the effect that what you put into your body has on not just your physical health but also your mental health. Why starting with your physical health first is so effective if you are a bit lost in life, and you start with that and you build up these new habits. Georgie talks a lot about the phrase habit stacking. So building up these small little habits, and essentially before you know it, your life has completely changed. Rather than trying to change everything at once, just focusing on, you know, making small little sustainable changes and trying to be consistent with them. A really great conversation with, you know, Georgie. She's such an interesting person. There was an awful lot to get into. Probably could have kept chatting for hours. But yeah, there's plenty to get into here. If you're trying to, you know, work on your wellness, whether it's physical, mental, trying to eat a bit better, anything, there's something in this for everyone. So yeah, with that, I hope you guys enjoy the episode. Here we go. And we're live. Georgie Sperling, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Like I was just saying before I hit record, it's just one of those random things. I saw you put up a South African flag and you were traveling, and I was like, I'm just going to strike while the iron is hot.
No, and thank you so much. Wait, like I was saying to you, it's like my first time here. Apart from I came here as a 13-year-old. Doesn't count. I'm now adulting in Cape Town. And it's really cool.
Yeah.
Really cool.
It's such an amazing place. This is my third time here. I've spent so much time here. I've got so many friends here, and there's so much to do, and you never quite manage to get everything done. It's one of those places you do need to keep coming back to. But yeah, it's paradise.
Oh, it's honestly bliss, and the time difference is just
for work. Yeah,
fantastic.
Yeah, it's so good. And speaking of work, something where I wanted to start is you've been quoted apparently saying a lot. Health shouldn't be seen as a privilege.
I love how you started with that. Brilliant. Yeah.
What does that mean to you?
So I guess it's to do with my story. I'll go into it if you want me to.
Sure.
When I was a child at 4 years old, I had emergency heart surgery. It meant that I could never exercise. So They said no exercise, blah, blah, blah. I'll cut this long story short, but spent a lot of my teenage years not in a good mental place, just because my dad's an ex-pro golfer, my whole family are sports obsessed, and I was there like, can't move, can't do this, can't do that. Got to sixth form and kind of put two fingers up at the doctors and said, I just need to move. I know it's going to help me mentally. I can see the benefits. The mind-body connection is such a huge thing. But there was nothing out there that I could really physically do, let alone like is accessible or approachable for me. Anyway, I started to do dance at A level. Had to be tested for 10 years after because they were like, what the F, you're going to die. Like, stuff like this. And it's that, I think that's what triggered this whole, my mission to improve people's wellness, but from a place that's accessible and not privileged. It's very expensive these days to hire a PT, a nutritionist, a therapist, anything. It's also really intimidating for people like myself who can't do like a Barry's Bootcamp every day of their lives or something like that. And it's also, you know, social media has made wellness such almost a cult, I think, of you know, you've got to be like us to join us, when actually wellness should be free and something that everyone should have access to, in my opinion. So that's what I do for work now. I run a business called Avra, which that's the mission, to remove the privilege from wellness, put everything in one place. All, you know, holistic wellness is my thing because of mental health, movement, hormones, finance. And yeah, that's a long story short, but...
Nice. Summed up perfectly. I think it's really interesting, like the privilege side of it, and there's so much to dig into there. And it's not just from like a financial side; it's also like a time side as well. And that's like a huge thing that I think about a lot, is, you know, time versus, you know, wealth, and how you can be time rich and, you know, financially poor, and all those sides of things. But wellness as well, taking the time to go to a Barry's boot camp or you know, for me, like my chosen sports is getting out on the water and stuff, and that requires a lot of time.
Yeah.
And actually, so many people don't have that. So if there is, if you can make it that little bit more accessible, I think that is a huge amount of value, and I'm sure there's a lot of people hearing that really agreeing with it.
Well, it shouldn't be complicated. You know, we should, like I said, we should all have access to be well. And I think a lot of people have lost, especially in the UK, as you'll know, a lot of people have lost the sort of basics of wellness. So going for a walk is fitness. It's a workout. And a lot of people have lost that intuition, that natural intuition between how we feel and what we do. So, yeah, I just think it's become crazy, overwhelming, stressful industry. And I wanted to sort of cut the crap. Can I swear on this?
Absolutely. Swear as much as you like.
Sorry, I just realized. I just wanted to cut that out, basically, and create something that is for everyone. People like me, people who have conditions, people who have no time. We work with a lot of corporates, so people literally have 5 minutes a day to do something for themselves. So that's where my mission is now.
Yeah, I think it's such a difficult thing. And with things like social media and stuff like that, there is that intimidation side of it. And you think, if I'm not wearing my Lululemon leggings and if I've not done all this stuff, then I'm not welcome in this place.
Yeah.
Or even if, like, and this is a huge thing as well, is feeling like you don't fit the bill physically, you know, whether you're a bit overweight or you're a bit older or younger, or you're suffering with a disability, something like that.
Yeah.
You know, it can be so easy to walk into, you know, try and walk into a fitness class or a yoga class, or, you know, for me, I had this huge intimidation. I started Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu a couple of years ago.
Amazing.
And I've people listening to this podcast a lot will be so bored of this story. But I must have walked up to the gym door about 4 times and looked in the window, and I saw the guys putting their gi on and getting ready. And I was like, I can't fucking do this. And I went back to the car and I did it about 3 or 4 times. And the minute I walked in, no one turned, you know, it wasn't like everyone turned and looked at me. Everyone was getting on with their own thing.
Wow.
And the instructor walked up, and he was the nicest guy in the world. Hey, mate, you brand new, you knew this. And he said, do you know anything? And I'm like, I know nothing, mate. And he's like, right, come with me. Let's get you a gi. Let's do this. We're going to go upstairs in 5 minutes. If you want to stretch, start stretching. And then I was like, well, here we go. So I think it's funny, like you mentioned how kind of tribal and things, it can be a bit culty. But sometimes I think we think that in our own heads because we're not part of it. But as soon as you literally walk in and cross the threshold, suddenly you're like, oh, maybe it's not so culty. Maybe actually everyone wants more people to get involved, you know.
Yeah.
It's a really, something really interesting.
I always use the saying, one size fits, not one size fits all, because we're all so unique and we all thrive off of different things. And my biggest, I was a trainer before starting Avra, a PT for 12 years. And I always use... to give my clients this advice, you should try different things. Let's try different workouts. Let's try different ways of movement for you and see what floats your boat, basically, because also strength looks so different on everyone. Like, this is why I hate when the comparison thing on social media, in terms of I lifted 120 kg, that's not very heavy for a lot of people, but for me, that's impossible. Like, you just do your own thing.
Yeah.
Go down your own roads, and it's you versus you when it comes to strength. And I get the whole competition thing in terms of like the world of CrossFit or high rocks and stuff like that, but not for me, one. And two, it's just you don't have to do that to be fit and strong and well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think people get the line so blurred between competition and comparison.
Yeah.
And I think competition can be healthy.
Very much so, yeah.
And I think that's fine, and especially if you're intending on doing that. Competition is like optional. You can opt in and out of it.
Yeah.
Comparison is a bit more difficult. You know, I would say comparison is the thief of joy. It's one of my favorite quotes.
Love it. Yeah.
And it's so true. And the minute you kind of can figure out a way of stopping comparing yourself to others, you know, for me, for years, I compared myself in the sport of windsurfing to all my friends. Quite a lot of my friends are professionals and competed and everything like that. And it kind of got to the point where I had to just submit to myself. I was like, you ain't got it, mate. And it's not going to happen. But it was strange. Like the minute I did that, I was free.
Yeah.
And suddenly every windsurf I did, I wasn't frustrated because I wasn't landing the tricks I wanted to land, or I wasn't frustrated about this and this. I was just enjoying it because I'm like, I'm out windsurfing with
my
friends.
Yeah.
And then I managed to turn comparison into inspiration. Because rather than, instead of looking at my friends and going, fucking, why didn't I? Why is he doing that and I can't?
Yeah.
I was able to kind of reframe it in my head and look at them and go, I hope I can do that one day. And it's a long way to get to that.
Massively.
You know, it takes an awful lot to get there. But it's like what you said, if you can all realize that, yeah, they can lift 120 kilos, but I ain't going to do it. But if I lift 80 kilos, I'm like, bang, there it is.
Yeah, good on me.
Exactly, you know, but it's...
You go, girl.
Yeah.
I'm very competitive. I get it. I'm incredibly competitive. It's really... Competition is really healthy for some people who really are competitive, and that accountability that it brings, competition is really, really good. But it's not for everyone. Like I said, some people just, you know, I remember I tell this story all the time when doing interviews or PR, but it's, I remember going to a fitness launch event at, I won't name them, a spinning place, well, they're kind of a multi gym spinning class.
Right.
And you had to wear the heart rate monitors, and everyone's on a leaderboard. And I was going at it. I am like relatively fit. I've been in the fitness industry for 12 years. I was a lot fitter than, not that it's a competition, a lot of those people. I was bottom of the leaderboard by a long, long way because my heart rate didn't get above everyone else's.
Right.
So I have very, very, very low pulse because of my heart. And I just walked out of that class feeling so shite about myself. Really, really demoralizing and just really low from it, even though I knew I'm going faster than that effer next to me. It's just not cool. So I get that what I, you know, my COO now, the guy who works for me, just came from Peloton, most competitive data and analyst, loves numbers, loves the heart rate monitors, loves a Whoop and all of that. I get it, some people like really thrive off of it. For me personally, I can't compete. So it drives me insane that they then, you know, some people qualify that as being fit or being well or healthy. Don't do your own thing, as I keep saying. And I've learned that the hard way. Like, I always wanted to be first. I always wanted to be better than or fitter than everyone to prove a point. Like I said, I was shoving two fingers up at the doctors most of my life trying to prove a point. And I think in my old age, got to a point where I just don't care anymore. And it's really freeing, like you said, it's really freeing. Do it for you.
Yeah, exactly. And so much of it is that. And that's like what I just said earlier. You know, competition in my head should be optional. You should be able to opt in or opt out. And it seems so unfair that, and I can, that is a surefire way to just demoralize so many people.
Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah.
If I walked into a fitness, whatever, something, and they were like, right, you're going to be competing today, I'd be like, no, I'm not. I'm out of here. Because I'm literally the most uncompetitive person in the world.
I don't care.
I had a lot of problems with my ears when I was younger, so I couldn't really do that many group sports because I got a lot of hearing problems. So I tried to play football and rugby and stuff, and I just couldn't really do it.
Yeah.
And I feel like that just meant I grew up. Like,
yeah.
Maybe it's a bad thing. I don't know. But I didn't really grow up with any competition in my life because I didn't really compete in any of these sports as a kid. So it's not really something that's ingrained in me. I think there's good and bad bits of both. Sometimes I feel like I should be a bit more competitive. I'm very competitive against myself.
That's the one that is, well, to a point, if it's a healthy level of competition with yourself, that's the one that matters the most.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's, yeah, like you said, it's that fine line, isn't it? Because it's so easy to turn that competitiveness against yourself with like beating yourself up.
or over obsession.
Yeah,
I've experienced it.
Right.
you can sort of very, very obsessed with constantly being better and progress and the numbers of the weights racking up or whatever it is. And sometimes it's just really not about that. Sometimes you're in a phase of your life where actually just movement is just a tool to de-stress, and that's all it is. And you don't need to have a goal or an end game or anything. Like, yes, it's great to have those, and I would encourage everyone to have goals, but you don't always have to have a goal to go to the gym or to, you know, windsurf or go for a walk. Or it's, use it as a tool.
Exactly. Are you familiar with like intrinsic and extrinsic motivation?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this definitely. Is, I think about this an awful lot. So it's like,
it's interesting, isn't it?
It's really interesting.
Yeah.
Like doing it. So the idea, intrinsic motivation, is you do something purely because you love it. Mm-hmm. You're not doing it to like show off in front of other people. You're not doing it with the intention of winning something or being paid for it or anything. You're purely doing it because you love doing it. And for me now, like just going for a walk every day along the beach, like I just met you on there. I go for a walk on that beach every single day for about an hour and listen to music or a podcast or something like that.
Amazing.
And for me, that's like my pure, and I know I'm like, cool, I'm getting my step count in, but that's, it's kind of transcended the reason, that's not even the reason anymore.
No.
It's gone from being like a physical thing of like, I get a bit of extra exercise if there's no wind or waves, to now I'm like, it's like an anchor for my brain now.
Yeah.
Like if I don't do it in a day, I can feel it.
Yeah.
You know? It's really interesting. Have you got anything like that? Is there something that you kind of do now?
Oh, definitely. It's really stupid, but this is again what I preach every single day, like online to clients, to corporates, whoever I'm working with. Mm. It doesn't matter what it is, but creating a sort of is habit stacking. It's my favorite saying right now. Habit stacking. That's what Arva is all about. But it's, for me, it's getting up 15 minutes earlier than I have to sit and have my coffee either in my bed, on the terrace, outside. I just need time. And I used to get up and go. You know, everyone's in a rush, especially in London. Maybe not so much here. Everyone just gets up and goes to work and just bam, 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 out the door. What's changed my life? Literally, all these other things that I do, wellness habits that we can go into. I'm, you know, a full-on wellness addict. But the one thing that's changed my life is getting up 15 minutes earlier and just breathing and having that time. You know, our cortisol and adrenaline are at its highest in the morning. We wake up and it's peaked. Mm-hmm. And if you're rushing, you'll put yourself in fight or flight for probably the majority of the day if you've got a stressful job. Mm-hmm. Having that 10, 15 minutes is game changing. So that's my biggest tip for everyone.
Do you like do anything while you're doing it? Do you sort of consume any content? Do you go on your phone? Do you literally try and just sit completely still, nothing, and just?
No. Again, I'm really realistic. I'll watch Netflix.
Okay.
I will feed my dog. I will just sit on Instagram. I know that's not wellness or healthy, but it's just my time. It's my time for 10 to 15 minutes. When you run a business, you don't get much of that.
But like you said, who is anyone else to tell you what wellness means to Georgie?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
And actually, if you want to sit and scroll reels for 10 minutes
exactly.
on Instagram, or, you know, like who out there can honestly say they don't love doing that? Do you know what I mean?
I agree.
You know, taking that time for yourself, that is literally the definition of wellness.
Yeah. I say this all the time as well. Meditation. I'm not great at meditating. Wish I was. I'm just not. I don't have the time, patience. My thoughts get distracting, racing brain syndrome, all of that. I now go on a walk and listen to a meditation, or I am cooking and listening to a meditation. You don't need to sit in a dark room for 45 minutes to meditate. I mean, quotation marks, meditate. It looks different for everyone. So getting it in a way that fits your lifestyle is just what's important. It doesn't have to look a certain way. Like we just said, strength doesn't have to look a certain way. Wellness looks different on everybody.
Well, yeah, like it's really interesting. That's like one of the notes I had written down for this is this idea of like meditation and all the places you can find it, because it's kind of one of those buzzwords that so many people hear and just switch off straight away.
Yeah,
and they go. I mean, this is quite rude, but my mum growing up, my mum's quite a spiritual person, and growing up, me and my brother, especially my brother, we used to call it hippie wank shite. His mum would come in with a rock. She'd give us a rock before an exam, or she'd go, here's this and here's this. And it's funny, as I've got older, I've subscribed to all the stuff she said a lot more. But we used to call it that. And you know, she'd talk about, you know, meditation and all this stuff. And I remember being like, whatever, mate, whatever. And
yeah.
But interesting that you said, like, I'm still the same as that in a certain respect. Like, I can't sit with my legs crossed
still.
For 10 minutes and close my eyes. And my brain is just like going all the time. But like what I just said, going for a walk on the beach and listening to my audiobook about dragons, or listening to a podcast, or even listening to a podcast about mental health, or listening to something about films, or listening to music, that's my meditation. Going surfing and sitting there while I wait for a wave, that's meditation.
Yeah.
I imagine you, when you're a teenager, dancing.
Oh yeah, that's massive.
That's meditation.
It is meditation. Movement's meditation. Walking, like, as I said, actually, when I pitch to businesses, that is the one phrase that lights everyone up. It doesn't need to look like 40 minutes in a dark room with your eyes closed, breathing deeply. Meditation has become a visual or a stereotype for a lot of people that it doesn't have to be. And the same with fitness, and the same with nutrition. It's become a sort of, not accessible thing for a lot of people. Let's just bring it back down to basics, and you can mold it into your lifestyle, slip all these wellness tools or habits into your lifestyle the way that it fits you, rather than the way that you see it on Instagram.
Absolutely. Nutrition's a really interesting one, actually, as well, isn't it? And there is such a huge relationship between, like, your gut and your, like, mental well-being, you know, like anxiety and things. I mean, everyone, you know, as soon as everyone gets nervous, there's so many talks about the minute people get nervous, they need the toilet and things like that. And and then that makes you more nervous, and it makes so much worse. It's something I've struggled with an awful lot over the years. And I know a lot of other people, I've done podcasts with so many people about this kind of thing. How do you go about that, especially given what we've said about people being time poor, people struggling financially, things like that? It's so easy to sit there and go, well, just get a HelloFresh box and you get all this stuff. And it's like, well, people can't afford that. Yeah. Or people may not have the time. They've got kids. They've got this. They've got that. How do you go about looking at that nutritional side and keeping it like kind of inclusive?
Yeah. So I have a fun fact for you first. 90% of our serotonin is made in our gut. So our gut microbiome is so important. And that doesn't mean you just get it from your gut microbiome, but it's really important. The gut-brain axis is critical. However, again, I'll go on about it. It's just, there's so much information and advice online that it is impossible to know what to do and how to eat. My biggest bit of advice, if you're trying to be a bit healthier, maybe you're trying to lose weight, lose fat, maybe you're trying to gain muscle, or just trying to feel a bit better, that's the number one thing, energy and get your body systems working better, is to try and stick to non-processed foods as much as you can. I don't care whether you're vegan, you're paleo, you're a carnivore, like, do whatever you want to do and it makes you feel the best. But processed foods are the problem. That doesn't mean we shouldn't eat them. It's, you know, the old 80-20 rule. But if you're sticking to sort of fresh, non-processed foods. Now, the one problem with that is, in the UK in particular, you can buy a pack of biscuits 20p, a head of broccoli is £1.20. So there's a massive, massive problem. There's a massive problem. But if you're clever, you can get certain things a lot cheaper. We do a lot of cheap and easy recipes on Avra, like using potatoes, dead cheap. Beans, pulses, super, super cheap in cans. You can get veggies from your local market instead of the supermarkets, or even frozen veggies. I have tons of those. I use them, and they're so quick. They're chopped for you. It's a myth that they're worse for you. They're fine. They're frozen at the point with all their antioxidants intact. That's a good tip for me. And the one thing I would say is maybe learn 3 or 4 recipes and then rotate. Prep, rotate. So if you can meal prep, game changer, especially breakfast. If you're rushing out the door, like I just said, and you don't eat breakfast, fine, but prep something, take something with you. The second thing is have 3 or 4 in rotation of really good meals that you've learned and you know how to quickly make within 10 minutes when you're home. An air fryer is game changer. That's also a bit of advice. And keep it simple. You don't need to have complicated food, you know. Try and get all the macronutrients in, and with that comes micronutrients, vitamins and minerals. But, you know, it doesn't have to be complicated. One of the best foods for you is an egg, a nutrient bullet. They are, you can get them cheaply. You can use them in so much, and they're so versatile. So, yeah, sorry, I just listed about a million different weird things. But I think nutrition is complex, and I think it's made overcomplicated. And I think all these fad diets, they're not helpful for anyone. The best way to get results is to eat a variety of non-processed foods. Yeah. Don't bother with the fasting or extremities of whatever the fad diet you're reading about.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, you know, there's so many people out there online in this day and age where there's just content at our fingertips all the time. It's so easy to listen to a podcast with one guy and then you listen to a podcast with another guy and they're both saying completely different things and you're like, well, I need to become a vegan, and then you're like, well, hang on a minute, no, I should be eating the carnivore diet, and you're like, well, which one do I do? And ultimately, like you said, I think it just comes down to whatever works for you. For me, I don't eat before midday every day purely because I've realized, like you, I get up and I usually spend 10 or 15 minutes do that, but then I have this thing, and I'm working on it, is where I always feel like I need to be being productive. So I do my kind of 10 minutes and then I start work straight away.
Right.
And my whole thing is, if I win the morning, I win the day. So I will, the first 2 or 3 hours of the day is like when I do most of my work. And I've found I do that with a lot more focus if I don't eat. Because the minute I eat some food, I'm like, oh, I just want to chill out. Do you know what I mean? So
yeah,
I've found
if that, it works for you.
Exactly. But then I have like pretty much all of my friends, they wake up straight away and they're like, right, let's get some eggs. Let's get some this, let's get some that. And I've really had to learn like the discipline when they're serving up this food. And I'm like, I'm all good, boys. Because I know the minute I eat it, you know, not only from a point of view of like, I literally look at a bag of crisps and put 2 kilos on, but also... but also from a point of view of like actually mentally, it just slows me right down.
Yeah, yeah. No, I get that. Well, it's a thermogenic effect. When we eat food, it takes energy to digest it.
Yeah.
So maybe eating something like lighter that's easily digestible would work for you. Like yogurt would just be fine. But yeah, what works for you? For females, I would suggest females don't do that.
Yeah.
Because of our hormones are a lot more sensitive. Mm-hmm. And I know you're kind of intermittent fasting, but apart from if you're epileptic or you've got another, what's the other condition that's good for intermittent fasting? I don't know, Google it, but epilepsy is the one thing that they suggest it highly for. Mm. I don't suggest it unless you're like you, not hungry. Or,
well, I've experimented with it. I've got to the point where I'm like, this is what works.
Yeah.
If I eat breakfast, I don't feel as good throughout the day.
That's and a really I, good example. Yeah. Whereas people are like, I should do that to lose weight. Don't. Don't do that.
just do it and,
it doesn't,
and have
you
a
end
go.
Up eating 3 times the amount in that short window of time anyway, and your body's thermogenic effect goes down. Mm. So if it works for you in terms of sort of energetic, keeping balance, then fantastic. Don't do it because you think you need to do it.
Exactly. And going back to the cooking side and stuff you said about that, there's also the aspect of like, there's an awful lot of satisfaction to be had mentally from like, like making a meal, like when especially if you're making it for someone as well, you do get this like, you get a warm fuzzy feeling,
I
don't
know.
You and when you look at a plate of food, and it doesn't have to look like one of, you know, it doesn't have to look like a Michelin star plate of food, but even if you've made like, I don't know, a lasagna or a nice pasta or like something super simple, just some chicken and some veg, you can look at it and you're like,
I'm obsessed with herbs and spices, like I'm a collector at these point, and it just like, it makes it so interesting. I live on my own and it's sometimes really hard to cook for yourself. If I'm cooking for somebody else, I'm a really good chef. Mm. If I'm cooking for myself, I'm lazy and I'm just like, oh, can't be bothered. So adding like herbs and spices, which are also really, really like medicinally good for us, is the way to go, I think. Even if it's the most boring meal that took you 5 minutes to reheat, it can work. But yeah, I do. I think there's definitely pride in cooking. There's definitely, for a lot of people, a therapeutic aspect of it. So it gives you a chance to wind down. And I know people hate cooking. I don't understand them. I love it. But it's just that it can be really therapeutic and a wind down towards the end of the day.
I think a lot of people hate cooking because they're probably a bit intimidated by it. And they're worried.
Yeah.
They're worried they're going to make, especially like you said, if you're making it for someone else.
Yeah.
They're probably worried of being judged or making something shit, you know? And that,
yeah.
I think there's a lot of that. And like you said, for me, like cooking is just like trial and error. I got quite into it over the last couple of years. Haven't really done it in the last year because I've kind of just been traveling. But I, you know, I would like, just I'm just gonna have a go. I always said cooking is like going to English class, and baking is like going to maths class. Like baking,
it is.
Baking,
I love baking.
Oh, see, I'm awful at it. Baking, you have to get everything right. Cooking, you're like, I'll just throw a bit.
Oh,
this
no,
in,
I just wing it. I just tend to wing baking.
Oh, I've tried it a couple of times and it doesn't work. But it's really fun though, and
it's
you
so
do.
Fun.
And as soon as you get into it, and as soon as you do it once or twice, and like I said, you see the results from it. And for me, like I just used to love putting a podcast in or like listening to a book while I'm cooking. And before you know it, you're dancing around the kitchen and you're doing stuff and you feel creative.
Yeah.
You know? And
there you go. Listen to this podcast whilst you're making your dinner.
There we go. That's it. Endorsed by Georgia. Yeah, make sure you guys do it. So, I mean, moving on from the sort of food side, another aspect of kind of this whole wellness thing, and it's something that people never stop talking about, but it's really important, and that is the role of social media within it. You are very active on social media. You're very open. You're very transparent. It's like really cool to see, and I think
Oh, thank you.
there's so many more people starting to behave a bit more like that. You know, especially like the earlier days over the last few years, there has definitely been a shift, in my opinion, in the kind of people presenting the rose-tinted glasses and this is my life and look how amazing it is, to suddenly being like, actually, this is what I'm going through, and sometimes I feel quite shit, and maybe you guys maybe go through this as well. And it seems like that type of content is actually being pushed a little bit more now. I'll give Instagram their due, but I mean, it's still a bit of a fine line, and you still get a lot of other stuff. But I don't know, maybe my algorithm's being nice to me at the moment. I don't know. But I suppose starting off with, you know, like you said, you've been a PT for so long and things like that, so you're probably quite confident standing in front of people. Did you find it easy to translate that going onto social media?
I did back then when I first became a PT. It was really easy to create content around that. I now use social media in a totally different way to what I used to use it. And I'm going to be a bit controversial.
Go.
So
Love it.
argue against me.
No, please.
I think this whole like real and raw and authentic body positivity era on social media is amazing. We need more of it, but a lot of people use social media as an escapism, as that highlight reel. And there's a very fine balance between going too far the other side, I think, and just making how do I say this? Sorry, I know it's very controversial. I'm all for it. I just need to put that out there. I'm
Controversy is good.
all for it. I'm all for the body positivity movement. I'm all for people sharing their woes and sharing their traumas. I don't share any personal trauma on social media. I try and keep my social media, not that I'm very good at it or I'm not one to follow, but it's just I try and keep it quite real and authentic, but there's stuff in your personal life that I would never share on there, and a lot of people do, and that's good for them. But I also think there's stuff that doesn't need to be shared, and you can keep that to yourself, and you can use your Instagram. I use it for business, I use it for brand, myself and my other account, and I use it as a highlights reel. I'll be honest, it's the good stuff. Occasionally, I used to share a lot of personal stuff, but nowadays, as I've gotten older, I actually don't want to. I'd rather keep that to myself and keep Instagram as maybe inspirational, educational, stuff like that. Maybe that's just me. I really respect the people that can share. We were just talking, oh, we've had shite years last year. Like, honestly, the worst year of my life. And I would never share any of that
No.
on Instagram.
Yeah.
Does that make me fake? Maybe.
I don't think so at all. So I mean, this was done in a different context. It was talking about a podcast, but Greg James, the Radio One presenter, he put out a really interesting article last year about a podcast. I'll just name it because I've done a podcast basically calling this guy out, but about Diary of a CEO and how essentially he's like hosting therapy sessions for millions of people to listen to, and how actually it's kind of a bit icky sometimes.
It's become.
And I completely agree with that. And it almost feels like people are potentially being used a little bit. And I'm sure they've all signed up for it, and I'm sure it's all completely above board and everything's good. But I've listened to a few of them and I've felt icky, and I'm like, I shouldn't be listening to this. This is not my business
No.
anymore. It goes beyond, I can relate to this, and it's really cool that other people are going through this as well, and I can take some advice from it. To the point where I'm like, this is I shouldn't be hearing this. This should be a private conversation. And I think that's the real fine line. I think a lot of the time people are potentially using social media as a bit of a diary because they're putting it out there sometimes maybe as a bit of a cry for help rather than putting it out there to go, this is what I went through, this is how I got better, and hopefully it can help you guys. And that's kind of been my, you know, with this podcast and the Instagram and stuff like that. I'm not so active about it now, but I do a lot of mental health stuff on my own personal profile now. And it's kind of done with that reason. I don't do it to talk about, oh, this is me and I've had an awful time. It's done with a, this is like real, this is what I went through, and here's like how I kind of managed to sort it out. It's all kind of retrospective now, now that I've kind of put the work in and I perhaps talked about it whilst on the journey a little bit. But I think sometimes when you're in the trenches in terms of like your mental health, or even if you're just on like a weight loss journey or something like that, I think you can maybe sometimes like document it too much and it becomes, it's intrinsic and extrinsic motivation again. It comes back to like, are you just doing this for Instagram? Because if you're just doing it for Instagram, that's you're doing it for the wrong reason.
It's a funny one because we always want to encourage people to share and talk, especially with mental health situations. I think we always want to, everyone should talk more. Everyone should share more. If you're struggling, you should tell somebody. But blasting it on social media is different than going to your friend, calling your friend and saying, I'm really struggling, I need help. And I see a lot of people on social media who are clearly in the trenches, I would call it. I call myself lucky. I'm very resilient. I've been through a lot in my life. Like, I don't say that half-heartedly. I know everyone's been through their own crap to deal with, and everyone's been through trauma, but I have had my fair share in 29 years. That resilience then, or that learning, can then, you can look at some people online that are going through maybe similar things that you've been through and think, gosh, your heart just like bleeds for them. And you're like, is this helping, blasting it in public? Should you be talking to your friends and family instead? I'm really conflicted about it. I think it's an amazing place where you can share and you can get help. And it is a really amazing place to showcase that we should be talking about mental health. Mm. We should be talking about our struggles, and we should be more vocal about things that are causing us stress or mental health issues. But at the same time, it can be really toxic and a bit of an overshare, if I'm honest. Yeah. Maybe that's just, like I said, with age or... because 5 years ago, maybe I would have shared a lot more.
I think so. No, I don't necessarily think it's that. I think it's the same as what we've been saying about wellness the whole time. Everyone does things differently. And ultimately, like, it's their account. They can do whatever they want on it.
Yeah, you know, but respect them as well.
Absolutely, you know. And if people are willing to share that, I've always said, you know, if it's helping the conversation, if it's opening a conversation up, then I'm like,
absolutely.
Then I'm like, go for it. But sometimes I do wonder about the motivations behind it. And I also wonder about the actual wellness of that person, because
that's,
I'm like,
what I mean, they, if the state if, of mind,
like, posting this on Instagram is not going to help you.
No.
And you know, it's like, maybe try and take a bit of action behind the scenes as well.
Yeah. Yeah. But sharing people's stories and journeys are really great to share. You said, once you sort of come through the other side, or once you've in the healing stage of things, I think that's a really great story to tell. It's inspirational. You've seen a journey, blah, blah, blah. I think that's great.
Absolutely. I did an episode last year with a guy called Richie Norton.
I know, yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Great guy.
So I know Richie's girlfriend, Tamara, really well.
Okay.
She used to come out to Greece where I taught windsurfing.
Oh,
I think.
Lovely.
So I've known Tamara for years. But so I had Richie on last year, and something he said to me at the time that has stuck with me, especially given what we said, I've, you know, just had a really bad year, and it was something that I really focused on immediately. And he was like, if you're stuck in your life and you're feeling a bit sort of confused and you don't really know where to go next, anything like that, he was like, start with your physical health. Just start with that.
Yeah.
Start with that. And as soon as you start that and start doing things, everything else does kind of work itself out. I wonder if you could like speak to that, whether I know we potentially kind of covered this a little bit as well, but it's just the way Richie said it. And I kind of did that as well. You know, as soon as my life got flipped upside down and I was like, where do I go? And what am I doing here? And all this, I was like, right, well, I'm just going to start doing as many press ups as I can every day, and I'm going to start going for a walk or a bike ride, and I'm going to maybe try and start eating a bit better, and and then I start traveling, and I was like, I'm just going to windsurf all day every day if I can and stuff, and suddenly I did feel better just by doing these things. And I wonder if you could speak to that experience at all.
I think starting with physical health is great, and I think it's the easier one to start with in terms of there's things that you can do in your house, 10 squats a day, you know, like you said, press ups. But I also think everything's interlinked, like just to push back on that, like if you're not sleeping very well, then movement's going to be more difficult and your performance is going to suffer. If you're not eating very well, you're not going to really see many results apart from mentally from your physical health, your physical performance. If you are very, very stressed financially, all of these things can have an impact on your physical, mental, emotional health. So I think it's a really good idea to break it down. If you're feeling overwhelmed, do one thing at a time. But then maybe once you've started a habit with physical health, so once you've done your press ups until you fatigue every single day, then start to think, okay, am I sleeping well or am I eating well? Do it one step at a time. I really like what Richie said in terms of start with one, the rest will follow, because that is true. But they are all interlinked. They're all massively interlinked, and you can't just rely on being fit. You've got to look at all aspects of wellness to be a well person.
Yeah, 100%. And I've often found as well, it was kind of like, I'm talking from my personal experience in the last year, as soon as I started sorting my physical health out, though, like, other things kind of fell into place almost subconsciously.
Yeah.
You know, suddenly I started looking in the mirror and I was like, oh, hello there. And then suddenly you're like, yeah, you start maybe feeling a wee bit better about that. And then it is literally like a snowball rolling down a hill. It just gets bigger and bigger. And you, as soon as you look at that, you go, well, I better start doing more of that. And then you're like, well, if I'm doing this, but I'm still eating Burger King four times a week, I'm like, actually, maybe I'll start cooking a bit of food and see if that like helps as well. And then you're like, right, cool, I'm doing this. And then through doing those things, I'm like, whoa, why am I suddenly sleeping a bit better? Because
exactly.
I'm eating better and I'm moving more, so my body's more tired at the
happier.
End of the day. And then you start sleeping a bit better and you're like, oh, I feel pretty good. And then perhaps you find you're in a bit of a better state, so you go, right, let's really like have a think about, let's reflect a little bit on what's just happened and think, right, how can I actually get a bit better? And then I go, do you know what, actually, maybe I could do with going to therapy for a couple of months. And I start doing that. And then you have your first therapy session and you're like, oh, that felt good.
Amazing.
And before you know it, you're like, you're a few months down the line and you're an entirely different person.
Without meaning to. I absolutely love that. That's exactly, hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
I love it so much. It's just, I use the saying all the time, the strength from the inside out. So start with the inside, the outside will follow. So, you know, aesthetic results or the way that you look at yourself, the way that you feel, your nutrition, everything will follow. And it's just, once you're hooked, you're hooked. Once you start a habit and you see and you feel the benefits of that habit, you will then, like, it won't seem like a chore anymore. It won't seem like something you have to do. It will just be something that you want to do and that fits into your lifestyle. No matter how busy, time poor or stressed you are, it will become that. The consistency is key at the start. It's like, you do need consistency and motivation, but I think that's amazing. I love that. I think everything follows, and I think everything is whole. Everything's holistic. Mm. And you then feel like just a really great different person.
Yeah.
I've been through a similar journey, so
really?
I get buzzing about it, yeah.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, I wasn't necessarily just speaking about myself. That kind of is what's happened to me personally, but it kind of also made sense to me that you do just start progressing through it. I really like as well what you just said about consistency. I think that's something that a lot of people ignore. Because it's so easy to accidentally have a cheat day, or whether you're eating or whether you know, anything. And I think that's fine. But I think over the like longer term, people just need to start looking at things like a little bit more sort of longer term in terms of this and being a bit more consistent. Actually, I'm kind of going to go backtrack on that. But I was listening to a podcast recently with Jimmy Carr, the comedian.
Yes.
I don't know if you've ever listened to anything about him.
He's got a fascinating story.
Oh, my God. I read his book last year, Before and Laughter, and it really like started something in me.
Wow.
It's amazing. He's so much deeper and thinks a lot more, and he's gotten so much more to say than just his like one-liners on stage. He's really cool. And he was on Modern Wisdom, Chris Williamson's podcast, and they were talking about the idea of the 24-hour you. This is something I've been doing an awful lot now. So whether I'm walking on the beach and I walk past the ice cream thing and I'm like, oh, I could have an ice cream. And rather than going, oh, but in 6 months, I want a six pack because I'm going to a wedding.
Yeah.
Like that 6 months over there is so far away that you almost can't relate to that person.
Yeah.
But I go, would Sandy tomorrow want me to have an ice cream now?
Yeah.
And I'd be like, no, he doesn't want me to have an ice cream now. And I'm like, in 24 hours, is Sandy going to like really remember that ice cream? And I'm like, no, probably not.
No.
So I'm like, cool, I'm not going to have an ice cream.
That's an interesting one. Yeah.
It's really cool, and it's even you can relate it to so many things. That's obviously the simple one, but it's like, should I have a few beers tonight? Is it going to make a huge difference to my evening if I drink these beers, or shall I just drive to the restaurant, have some food with my mates, drink sparkling water, and drive home and get a good night's sleep? And I'm like, what's 24-hour Sandy going to do? And it's something I only listened to this podcast in like October, November. I remember I was in Brazil listening to it, and I was like, Oh, and I really started putting that into practice when I'm doing my daily decision making.
Yeah.
And in terms of like my own well-being and things like that, it's become like a bit of a cornerstone. It was just
I
a really cool
that.
Thing.
Yeah. I like that because two things. One is I think that these things should become part of our lifestyle rather than like quick fixes or like lose 10 pounds in 10 weeks.
Yeah.
Like I just don't like that. Like no. It's never sustainable. It really Fs with your confidence and your mental health as well. So I really like that. I really like that it's become like a intrinsically into your day that you would think about these things anyway in terms of your lifestyle for that day or that next day. I think going back to consistency, I think consistency isn't linear. I think we can go up and down, but if you're doing something every day that's for your wellness, it doesn't matter what it is, a walk, a workout, a 2-minute deep breathing because you're panicked. It could be, I don't know, making yourself a really nice meal. It could be seeing a friend and talking to them, picking up the phone to your family, anything. If you're doing any of those every single day, that's consistency to me.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to look like going to the gym for an hour every single day.
Well, it comes down to like what you said. It's like kind of habit stacking, like doing those tiny little things.
Yeah.
Like you don't realize. And it's even things like practicing with a bit more like gratitude and stuff to improve your kind of, you know, your mental health if you're suffering with, you know, depression or anything like that. And I think with gratitude as well, a lot of people think it's got to be the big things and it actually doesn't. You know, I kind of stop myself. As soon as I feel the thought spiral, I go, right, I do three things. And sometimes it's like, I'm grateful because I've got a Coke Zero in the fridge for later. And I'm grateful for that.
Little things, right?
Yeah.
It's about the little things.
Exactly. I'm
you
grateful.
You get up and the sun is shining.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
I was accused a lot as a teenager as a, what do they call it, rose-tinted glasses.
Right.
So I would always look at things that is a negative, but I actually see it as a massive positive now. It can go against me because I can be sometimes unrealistic. But, you know, it's just looking at the world with a bit more positivity and appreciating the tiny, tiny things, even if your life is a pile of crap at that point in time, which obviously for both of us has been at points.
Mm.
There are always little things that you can look at and be really grateful for or that make you happy.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. It's like such a reframe. You know, it's like something I really tried to stop doing is I was like, previously, I feel like I was spending a lot of time looking for things to be sad about. Rather than looking for things
looking
to be happy about.
Happy.
Yeah, exactly. And like you said, it's like making those small kind of different changes. And I think the people around you make such a difference as well. Like if they're up for thinking a bit higher and I don't necessarily mean you're surrounded by friends who are billionaires and they're doing all this stuff. I'm not mean it like that, but I mean like if you just got friends that in general are just kind of looking to have a nice time and that this is what they want to do.
Yeah,
it completely changes. You know, your circle makes such a difference. I think
we have a relationship therapist on Avra, and she says there are energy radiators and energy drainers.
I've heard this recently. Yeah,
and she does a lot of content on the app about it, and I love it. It's actually the most popular content.
Wow!
And a lot of stuff about who the top five people you surround yourself with, and how you can be an energy sort of gainer to somebody and how energies match each other. And I think it's so true. I think who you choose to talk to and spend your time with can make the biggest difference to your life and your mood and your mental health massively. And I think filter out the people that don't, get rid.
Yeah. I think, and that's like, it is a hard thing to do. And I think it was like Alex Hormozi or someone said recently, I'm very much paraphrasing, but it's like, you'll never feel lonelier than when you're trying to become a better person.
Yeah.
It's kind of true.
So
like
true.
The loneliest, you know, and he said like the loneliest points in his life, the loneliest he's ever felt is when he was kind of like doing his best work.
Yeah.
Because he's like, right now, I'm...
Growth, isn't it?
I'm trying to grow. I'm trying to do my own thing. And you kind of feel lonely, especially if the people around you aren't necessarily doing that. And that's not to say that it's bad that they're not doing it.
No.
Like we're all on our own journeys, we're all doing our own thing. But if you are on a journey like that, and if you feel like at the moment you need to put the time into becoming a better version of yourself, you kind of got to accept that potentially that might be a bit of a lonely place.
Oh yeah, it's a completely like solitude journey.
Yeah.
It's really, it can be awful.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's no one but yourself who can spark that growth.
Yeah.
You can't rely on other people and you can't rely on external factors. It's within you.
Yeah.
And that's for everything. Starting a new fitness journey or gratitude journey or meditation, whatever it is, like, it starts with you. Mm. Yeah.
Exactly. That seems like a pretty perfect spot to end up on there. Yeah, it is all down to you. Georgie, if people want to check out more about what you get up to, where can they find you?
Yeah, so at Georgie Sperling on Instagram. And then you can download Avra, which is the app that is my business that has every dimension of wellness in one place for you. It's only $3.99, so removing the privilege. And you can download it from the Apple or Google store or just follow the Instagram for like tips on wellness. And yeah, you can message me at any time if you have any questions.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah, yeah. You'll be able to find it in the show notes as well on whatever podcast platform you guys are listening to. So yeah, make sure that you check it out. As Georgie said, there's lots of good stuff on there. Yeah, thank you so much for listening, guys. Thank you, Georgie, for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, my pleasure. And yeah, guys, we will see you for the next one.